Tasha's told us, and start off with a story. I heard this from Devin Kaplan years ago. Literally, my first year in Eretz Yisrael was about 13 years ago. 13 years ago when I heard it was Devin. So he told over this story in one of his Parshas Shirim, and it was one of my favorite stories of all time. It's a famous story now. Chatzko Levinshin was in a cab. Chatzko Levinshin was in a cab, and the cab driver said, "Oh, you're a rabbi. I want to tell you a story." In Israel. He said, "I want to tell you a story." So Chatzko sat down, and he said, "All right, I want to hear." He said, "Me and my friends, after we finished the army, we decided to go to a South American jungle. Went to the South American jungle, and as we were in the jungle, we were walking around, and then all of a sudden we heard a muffled scream. So we went over to the place, and we saw a huge snake, an anaconda, was wrapped around one of our friends. One of the people there, wrapped around the entire way, he had his snake mouth right over there." It's an unbelievable story, right? But it's just like that. This anaconda was all around him, right? So we tried getting it off, we tried using a machete, but the anaconda's face was right around there. It was just too scary. We were scared of shooting it because we were afraid of hitting our friend. We didn't know what to do. So finally we saw that the guy was on his last breath. So he said, "Dudu, say Kriyashma." Of course his name is Dudu. Well, what else would it be? He said, "Say Kriyashma." "Say Kriyashma." So he yelled out loud, "Shma Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad." And immediately he turns back to Rav Chatzko. He says, the cab driver turns to him. He says, immediately the snake let go. The snake immediately let go of him, and the snake went completely away. It just ran away. So he said, he turned to him and he said, "You should listen to me, Rabbi. Listen to Rav Chatzko. Listen to me. That man, he now lives in Bnei Brak. He now wears a frock on Shabbos. He's Shomer Shabbos. He was closed in Betshuva. And this man is completely from." So Chatzko looks at the cab driver and he says to the cab driver, he says, clearly not wearing a kippah, not have anything on. And he's like, "What happened to you?" And he said, "You don't understand. This didn't happen to me. It happened to him. So why? What does it have to do with me?" So that's the idea. The idea is the following. There's a natural tendency to not attribute anything bad to myself. I didn't do anything wrong. There's another reason why something bad happened. I did everything that I could. So whatever I did was someone else's fault. There's someone else that did something. A guy came this week. He came really late to Seder. I don't want to say who it is. I don't know. You're there. A guy came really late to Seder. And he said, "I was on my way to Seder when I got pulled over. I got pulled over by the cops. So immediately he turned to me and he's like, "I don't get it. If I got pulled over by the cops, I thought shluchim mitzvah and nizokin. If you're on the way to do a mitzvah, you don't get damaged. So how in the world did I get pulled over by a cop? How could that have happened? I'm on the way to do a mitzvah." I'm looking at him, I'm like, "Can you not think of anything you've done wrong? Anything you've done wrong over the past couple weeks? I mean, aside from the fact that you were late to Seder this morning, anyway, even if the cop wouldn't have pulled you over and you were going 60 to try to make it to Seder someone on time, can you think of anything that you might have done wrong? Could you possibly attribute it over to there rather than say it's the mitzvah's fault that I got pulled over?" And like, if you can't think of anything, I'll tell you stuff. I'll tell you certain things that you could definitely use. But the way we think is you don't deserve the onus. We didn't do anything. You can't think of a single thing that I did that would warrant anything that a Kadosh Baruch Hu could punish me for. That's the way we are. That epitomized Esav. You couldn't describe Esav better. Forget about Esav being this virtuoso, this idea of a serial killer, serial rapist, the worst person in the world that you can ever imagine. He was a Rosh Yeshiva. He was a Rosh Yeshiva with a frock, with something wrong. There was just something in his head, something that he was off about. Esav Dafka married someone, says the Shem Yishmol, after he felt cheated from Yaakov. After Yaakov tricked him, after he took away his buckles, he then went and got married to who? Yishmol's daughter. What should be? So let's think for a second. Someone has something bad happen to him. What he should have done is he should have said,
"I'm getting married."
No, 100%. That's exactly the point. What should he have done? Should have said to himself, "Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe Yaakov, you know, is doing something right and I'm doing something wrong. Maybe there's something that happened that I did something." He should look at himself and say, "What did I do?" But what did Esav do? He's incapable of doing it that. He looked at everyone else and blamed it on them. He said, "My wives are the fault over here. My wives were the problem. If my wives wouldn't have blinded Yitzchak, then it wouldn't have ever happened. Yitzchak wouldn't have been able to see and everything was all good." See, when he blamed his wives, that's Esav's name. Esav's name means Naaseh. He's already made. He's there. He's 100% perfect from the start. There's nothing else that he has to add on to. No need for self-improvement. There's no need for Musser. I am perfectly fine. I am Esav. Esav is Singalatris 376. Singalatris Shalom. He was at peace with himself. He had no problem with himself. Anything he did, he looked at himself and he said, "That's the best thing I could have done. There's nothing else that I could have done any different." He looked at his life and he said, "I was great. I was perfect. What did I do? And when people told him, "You realize you just raped a girl?" He said, "She had it coming. She shouldn't have acted that way. She shouldn't have been looking that way at me. It was that person. It was the other person that did something wrong, not me. That person I murdered, he got me angry. It was his fault that that ended up happening. The problem was, said Esav, I married the wrong people. Had I married, not a Benos Kanan, had I married from the family, had I married from within the family, like Yaakov's going over from Rachel, I'm going to Yishmael. If I would have married within my family, sort of, then everything would have been okay. I should go to Bas Yishmael. But here's the clincher. Notice, he didn't divorce his previous wives. He didn't divorce them. He didn't get rid of them. He said, listen, I want to add on somebody. He said to himself, it wasn't their rishos that bothered him. It wasn't their evilness. It was the fact that they didn't have yichus. It was the fact that they didn't have any lineage to go with. And because of that, he said, I want to marry Machlas just to be able to have good kids. For the kids to be down there from Yishmael. For everything to work that way. He completely missed the point. Totally missed the point. He saw what happened. He saw what the problem was. He saw what the issues were, and he completely and utterly missed the entire idea of what Rivka was trying to tell him. What Rivka was trying to get at with him. Totally missed it. Yaakov, his name stands for the exact opposite. Yaakov's job is to treat himself as a heel. To look at himself as if he's absolutely nothing, as a simple man, the Ish Tam, as being a little nobody. Even when Hashem told him he's Yisrael, he never lost the name Yaakov. Even when he's Yashar Kael, he fights with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and he's so straight, and everything he does is good, and everything he does is awesome, and he's this guy who does everything right, HaKaddish Baruch Hu still calls him Yaakov. He still thinks of himself as Yaakov. He looked at himself in his own eyes as Yaakov. That's the way to be. Not like Esav and think that you're done, but as a Yaakov and say, I always have something to do. There's always something I'm missing, always something that I messed up on. If something bad happens to me, it's because of me. Not because of him. Not because of him. It's because of me. Something that I did. There's a word sure in this week's Parsha. Yonas of New Zealand, Pasuk Chav Tes, said that there's five averas that Esav did on that day where he sold his Bechor for the lentils. Five things he did on that day. He murdered somebody. That seems to be Nimrod.
Why, that's like a
that's what you would think. There's another. There's Rav Wolfson on that. We spoke it out last year. There's number two. He was over on Gili Arayis. It seems that he raped a Nara Murasa. He was Koper Be'ikr. Did not believe in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He was Koper Be'ikr and worshipped Avodah Zarah. He was Koper in Tchiyas HaMesim. He didn't believe that there was going to be a revival of the dead, a resuscitation of the dead. And number five, he was Mevaz of the Bechorah. He made fun of the Bechorah status. I did it all together. Now, out of those five, probably my top, Koper Be'ikr, Gili Arayis, Shvichus Damim, the only one mentioned in the Pasuk is that he's Mevaz of the Bechorah, Vayivaz Esav as Bechorah. None of them are mentioned in the Pasuk except that one. Isn't that an unbelievable one? What in the world are we only mentioning that one for? That's the least sin that Esav did that day. Say the big sin that he did. And then Kol Shekein, he did other things that were wrong. See, the Pasuk actually gets around that problem. It says he gave him lechem, and then afterward he sold the Bechorah. So you see that he did it legitimately, that there was nothing that any, you couldn't say like, oh, he's an ones because he was so starving and he was so hungry and everything like that. Horse, he gave him bread for that. That's the idea. The Vayivaz is Bechorah. But still, if you had a choice, you should just say straight out, he didn't believe in God in that day. And that's why he went ahead and sold it. Not because Vayivaz is Bechorah, that's nothing. Just say straight out, because he didn't believe in God that day, or because he killed someone that day, or something else. He killed someone. He killed one. He committed adultery that day. What else do you want to say, Rav Aaron Cutler? By the way, today is, not tonight, but today is Rav Aaron Cutler's Yortzeit. Earlier today was Rav Aaron Cutler's Yortzeit. He says, it's not what people think. It's not what people think. Not that Esav had no idea what the Bechorah was. Do you have any idea what the Bechorah is? Do you have any idea what the Kedusha of a Bechorah is? How Kedusha of a Bechorah is? That the Gemara in Bava Basra says there's power to his spit? He has an ability to spit on something and heal people with his spit. I have no idea what that is. Esav, not only did he know exactly what the Bechorah meant, he knew what the Brachos meant. Do you have any idea what the problem, what's the idea of the Brachos? When Yitzchak Avinu is going to bless them and Esav is all excited about it, and he gets so angry, he screams out, Yitzchak Tzaka Gedola Umara. When he doesn't get the Brachos, do you have any idea what he missed? So he didn't get a Bracha, so what? And Yitzchak said, I have no Bracha for you anymore. I have nothing. What do you mean you don't have a bracha for me? Just give him a bracha.
Esav knew. Esav was not dumb. He said, Lama ze li bechora. Whenever you say the word ze, as in ze ke li van beyu, it means they're pointing at something. They're showing you this is exactly what it is. It means you know what it is. There's no doubt in your head what it is. Lama ze li bechora. He pointed the bechora and he said, I know what the bechora is. Why do I need this bechora? What's the point of me having this bechora? Esav knew there was a koach there. We're still in Tsar from Bayitak Tzaka Gedol Umar. The fact that Esav screamed out loud. We're still in Gullus because of his scream. Do we know what it was? Esav knew. But here's the deal. I know G.I. Joe just came out. Knowing is not half the battle. Knowing doesn't work as anything whatsoever. Knowing is one thing. But if you can't stop yourself from doing what you know is wrong, you've got nothing. You've got nothing. Knowledge is one thing. Knowledge can take you so far, but then there's a huge block in front of you. You've got to jump over that block and just do it. Esav knew. He had an unbelievable head. His head made it into Mars Machpelah. His head made it in there. It was cut off by Chushim ben Dan. It rolled into Mars Machpelah, and it landed in Mars Machpelah. And the Gemara says that Yaakov smiled when that happened. Then he was happy that Esav's head was going to be inside there. But his body, his goof couldn't take it. His goof couldn't take what his head was telling him. His head was telling him, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and there's these mitzvahs and that mitzvahs. And his body said, heck no, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go ahead and give in to those things. I have taivas, and I want to go ahead and have my taivas. He was a prodigy. He was a genius. He was a Rosh Hashifa. He was a lamdan. He had everything. Hey, Yitzchak Avinu was not fooled. He was a genius. But he had taivas. Listen to this. The Avnei Nezer, scripture all the way through, telling over these types of stories. The Avnei Nezer was once really sick, and he couldn't concentrate on his learning. So he took out a science book. He wanted to look through a science book, and what he wanted to do was disprove the science of his day. That's what he was out to do. 1800s, he decided he was going to go through the science book and disprove all the different things that they were saying, all the different things. So he was going through it, but the Kutzker Rav walked in. The Kutzker Rav walked in, took one look at the Avnei Nezer, and said, what are you doing? The Avnei Nezer is all embarrassed. I mean, it's not Avnei Nezer. We're talking about father of the Sheni Shmuel. It was not just Stama Yid, Avnei Nezer. Kutzker Rebbe walks in and he looks at him and he says, what are you doing? Your mind already knows that's Sheker and Hevel. Your mind knows that there's lies in that safer, that the scientists are sometimes lying about certain things. You're not going to disprove anything. Your body still wants. It doesn't make a difference what your head does. It's what you do. The only thing that can improve your body is Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. Is that a Kutzker line? That's a Kutzker line. It's the only thing you can do. Don't try disproving it from the outside by going ahead and saying, oh, here's why evolution doesn't work. Here's why the whole thing, Big Bang Theory, is a lie. Here's why this, don't worry about that. Just learn. That's the Kutzker's line. That's a little extreme. It's a very, very big extreme. Esav, he didn't have that brain. He didn't want to sit and learn. He understood things very quickly, but he hated chazrin. He hated going over stuff that he's already done. And he hated it when people were slower than he was. And when he was in Shir, and Yaakov, the Ishtam, went over things again and again and again, Esav was ready to punch him in the face. I said, what's the problem? You didn't get it the first time? Esav just got it. It was just in his head. He was a genius. A mad, mad genius. And he hated Shir. And he couldn't stand listening to people. And he couldn't stand anything else that was going on. That's a pshat in the Talmud Chacham, says the Chiddush Yerim, explained by the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes explains, why is it called a Talmud Chacham? It's called a Chacham. He's a wise man. Talmud Chacham means you're willing to sit there and learn from your Chachma. Not to just have Chachma. Chachma is one thing. But to be a Talmud Chacham, to be able to learn from your Chachma, to be a Mashpia from those Chachma, to take away your Taivas, to be able to knock down those Taivas, because we all have them. It's not like you can live in this world and not have unbelievable Taivas. But eventually a Torah should be able to take away. That's a Ben Torah. A Ben Torah that they call in Yeshiva. A person who's the son of the Torah, who's willing to let the Torah fix himself. A guy came up to the Kutzker Rebbe, another line from the Kutzker, this one's shorter though. Came up to the Kutzker Rebbe and said, I finished all of Shas. Kutzker Rebbe said, and what did Shas teach you? What did Shas teach you? Oh, it's just a line. In Hebrew it sounds a lot better, by the way. Limadati kol Shas. And Kutzker Rebbe says, Uma Shas lo mirotcha. What did the Gemara teach you? What did you get out of it? You know, what are you getting out of all this? What's going on here? Esav's head made it in, but his body didn't. But Yaakov Avinu, what he did was just sit and learn. And when he learned that he had to run away, what did he do? He ran the yeshiva for 14 years. We're not dealing with a normal person. 63 years of learning, you think that's enough for you to get married. But no, 14, not 1 year in Israel, not 2 years in Israel, not 3 years. It's not like Shana Dalit. 14 years before he was ready to go out and be with Lavan. 14 years! That's unbelievable. And Yeshiva Shem Aver, when he's been learning for 63 years, he didn't go to Lavan until 77. He didn't get married until 84. I mean, it's beyond comprehension what Yaakov Avinu was able to do. That's not normal. It's absolutely not normal. But that's what you have to do in order to live in Yeshiva. With Torah, you can be a Yaakov Avinu. If you don't have Torah, so what's going to happen? You're going to sell everything you have for a bowl of lentils. It's not Dafka lentils. It means Olam Hazeh. For one ride on a roller coaster. For one idea of just the best fun that a person can have. For one concert, you'll sell everything you got for a bowl of lentils. That's what it basically is. A bowl of lentils. As hungry as he was at that moment, it satisfied his hunger. It was the greatest taiva that he had at that moment. That's what it is. That's the idea behind it. Such a powerful, powerful, powerful word. That's Esav. It's not that Esav, we call him Esav of Russia. We call him Esav of Russia. Esav was a normal person. He was a normal Jew. He's a normal person. He just gave into his taiva too much. Yitzchak Avinu wouldn't have been fooled by anybody else. All those things he did, the Koper B'tchias and the Kefir and this and that, and that, it was Heterim. Heterim. He was Makel. He was Makel on himself. You think, I have tithes, I gotta give in to them once in a while. What's his problem? What is his problem? The Shem Yishmol goes a little bit further. Everybody remember the question that he asked? The question he asked Yaakov Avinu? What question did he ask Yaakov Avinu about the salt and the straw? How do you take Maaser off Tevin and Melech? What kind of a question is that? There's a concept of Iker and Tuffel. Iker and Tuffel. We all know the concept. You make a bracha on the Iker, you don't make a bracha on the Tuffel. Olam Hazeh is the Tuffel, Olam Haba is the Iker. Right? B'nai Yisrael is supposed to be the Iker, the other nations of the world are supposed to be the Tuffel. Everything has a purpose. 6 days of the week, Shabbos is the Iker. 6 days of the week are Tuffel to Shabbos. It's all these types of ideas. Yaakov's spiritual pursuits and what he was supposed to do in the world, which he never ended up doing, which he wasn't allowed to do because the brachos ended up going to him, what he was supposed to do was the Iker of the world. To keep the world running completely all the time, to make learning the Iker, and to be have the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu number one beyond everything else. And Esav's material pursuits was supposed to be the Tuffel. Supposed to be secondary. Meaning Esav would only be able to work and only make money because Yaakov Avinu needed money. Because in order to live, Yaakov Avinu needed to survive based on Esav's money. That was the idea of the world up until Yaakov Avinu got the brachos. Up until Yaakov Avinu got the brachos. Where Yaakov wouldn't think of anything else, and all his children would not think about anything else. They'd be learning Torah all day long. Well, Esav's kids, all they would do is work all day long. And that was the idea behind
it. And support them.
And support them. And have to support them. And that's what, that was the idea behind it. That's what Yitzchak wanted in the first place. Says the Shem Yishmol, Esav couldn't be a Tuffel. He couldn't stand being secondary to anyone. Who's he to tell me what to do? He wanted to be the Iker. He gave money to yeshivas. The yeshiva had the name Esav's yeshiva on top. It had Esav's yeshiva. He probably bought Chosin Torah and Chosin Bereishis, gave it over to Yaakov and Yitzchak. I would assume that he did that. I can't imagine he would have done anything else. But Esav went ahead and did it, but he couldn't stand being the second one. All it took, and this is all Esav needed to do, to make it a different world than what we have today, is a simple realization. Sometimes, we're not who we think we are. Sometimes, we think we're better than we actually are. Sometimes, we're Tuffel to other people. We're secondary to other people, and other people should make the real decisions, and we're just Tuffel. Esav couldn't do it. Couldn't say it. He couldn't do it. The world's for me, said Esav. Look at the world. All the money that's there to make, it's for me. I can do it. And Yitzchak's idea of what I'm going to do in order to give him a baracha was to convince him the Iker life is Yaakov Avinu's life. You're going to have all the good stuff in this world, but it's all for Yaakov. You give him a little bit of Kedusha, your Mashpia, a little bit of Kedusha into Esav, look what's going to happen. He'll do everything we want him to do. That's why there was no baracha for Yaakov Avinu. There was no baracha for him. He didn't call him. He didn't ask him to come in. There was no bracha for Yaakov. He didn't need a bracha. He didn't need a bracha of Olam Hazeh. What did he need that for? It was all for Esav. Everything was for Esav. For him to know what to do with his bracha. For him to know what to do. And Esav was excited. For the first time, Yitzchak saw excitement in Esav's eyes. Esav was ready to do it. I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do, Dad. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to be that guy for Yaakov, if you know. But Rivka paskened differently. Rivka saw that it's not going to work. Something's going to be wrong. Something's going to be wrong. That the realization is not there. Esav is never going to achieve perfection. There's no way for him to do it. There's no way that can happen. So now, it's all gone. It's completely gone. That world is gone. Now Yaakov Avinu is not allowed to just learn Torah. It's impossible. You mean Kemach and Torah, and Torah and Kemach. He has to be both. He's got to be this businessman, as well as being a person who has to learn. He's got to do both. He doesn't have a choice. Because there's no Esav. Sure, there's Yisachar's ruin relationship. There's the concept of Yisachar's ruin relationship. But you see that's not a Klal. It's not for all of Klal Yisrael. It's for individuals that can maybe do that. Individuals that are willing to be able to go ahead and be brothers with one another and be able to say that to one another. But it's not even a concept. It's not a clear concept for all of Klal Yisrael. It would have been had Esav said yes. It would have been. Esav would have been the Melech. He would have been David HaMelech. He would have had his own meal, Malav HaMalka on Motzei Shabbos. Esav would have had his own world. Everything would have been fine. But Yaakov would have been the Iker. And Esav couldn't stand that. Couldn't stand it. That's his question. Melech and Tevin. Tevin is straw. It's tuffle to the Iker, which is the wheat. Salt is always tuffle. You can't think of a thing that's more tuffle. Nobody eats just salt. Weird people. But nobody eats just salt. No, nobody takes that. You have to put it on something. You put it on something else. Something else is the Iker, and that's the tuffle. Said Esav. How do you make something tuffle into something that's an Iker? How do you take Meiser off of Melech and Tevin? How do you make that into an Iker? How do you do it? Just tell me what to do. I'll do everything, said Esav. Just tell me how to make myself into an Iker. Yaakov Avinu couldn't answer. Yitzchak Avinu, I'm sorry, couldn't answer. There's no way. You're a tuffle. Just accept who you are. Just know what you're supposed to do. But Esav couldn't do that. He couldn't look up to anyone. His father was one thing. But he couldn't look up to Yaakov. There was no way he was going to look up to him. My younger brother? I can't do that. The lesson that we learn from here is that we always have to look at ourselves as tuffle to higher causes of Klal Yisrael. To the higher cause of Klal Yisrael. Yes, you have a life. Yes, you have your das asmo, you have your own. Everything that happens in your life, and you are number one. But you have to look at yourself as still tuffle to the aims of Klal Yisrael. What does Klal Yisrael need for me to do? What does B'nai Yisrael need for me to have happen? And you have to look at yourself that way. It might be better for me if I go and I sit and I learn all day long. Maybe better for me, and I might get more Olamaba if I go ahead and do that. I can't think that way. I have to think that there's a higher aim for me. I have to think that there's a bigger thing that Klal Yisrael needs right now, and it's not for me to sit in my own and look in a corner and just do whatever I want. That's what a person has to do. However that is, that's the idea. That's the lesson from over there. But there's something else beyond this question. Now we're going to put everything together. We started off with Esav at the end of the parsha marrying Machlas. Such a strange thing. Marrying Machlas. Marrying Machlas Bas Yishmael. First of all, the name of Machlas is just a strange name. It means sickness. You don't get much better than that. There's a question. Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, the Maril Diskin, when he was in Yerushalayim, they came up to him and asked him, how do you read the word? There's a kasha, how to read the word Machlas. Is it Machlas with a patach? Or is it Mochalas? Mochalas with the Komats. Zakasha had to read it. And he said it's totally in a medrash. Totally in a medrash. It's a question whether Yishmael did tshuva. If he did tshuva, then Hashem was mochal him for all of his sins. If he was mochal, if he was forgiven, then the name of his daughter was Mochalas with the Komats. But if he never really did tshuva, or if the tshuva wasn't fully accepted, or he did things wrong, then he have a patach underneath. It's Machalas, as in a sickness, as in something wrong. I'm sorry, Yishmael. Her father. Well, at the end of the day, it seems that he did. From the end of Parshas Chayisar, when they buried Avram Avinu, Rashi says that Yishmael did tshuva. But it's totally in a medrash. There's two medrashim. One says that he did tshuva, one says that he didn't. And that difference is the difference between Machlas. Says Rabbi Yishmael, the Maral Diskin, Zev Zet Torah, both of them are Torah. It does not make a difference how you read it in the Torah. If you read it as Mochalas or Machalas, both of them are Yotze. You're Yotze completely. But there's something behind his question. He's missing something. Machlas is also the name of a Sheda. It's the name of a demon. What does this demon do? This demon is in charge of the koach of simcha in the wrong way. Somebody is mis-sameach in the wrong way. There's Lilith and Machlas. Lilith is in charge of sadness, making a person upset, of yeush, of getting you upset about certain things you've done, and say, forget it, you're never going to come back, you're going to be a Russian for the rest of your life. Machlas is all about simcha in the wrong way. Causing yourself to be beyond happy, but for the wrong reasons. In the wrong different ways. The Gemara says, if you're meshamesh mitoso bi'ito, if one is together with one's wife in the proper time, you weaken the koach of Machalas. The simcha involved is obvious. It happens to be Be'ito, Be'ez Ayin Tav Vav, is the same gematria as Machalas. It happens to be the same gematria as it all together. But there's something behind this. What's the deal behind this? Okay. So this is based on an Itzutz Shimshon, Shimshon Astropolia, but it goes a little bit further. There's a Pasuk in Mishle, Kohelos, I'm sorry, Zion Tes Zion, everybody remembers it. Shlomo Melech says, Al Tihi Tzadik Arbe. It's a famous line that everybody says in Yeshiva, Al Tihi Tzadik Arbe, don't be too big of a Tzadik. The next Pasuk says, Al Tirsha Arbe, don't be too big of a Rasha. But this one they forget. It's usually the first one, Al Tihi Tzadik Arbe, don't be too big of a Tzadik. Listen, you have certain responses, you do certain things, but don't be too big of a Tzadik. What does that mean?
So the Mitzvah David says, don't aser on yourself something that the Torah matters. The Torah matters it for you, don't aser it. There's no reason to aser it, there's no reason to have that iser. But Ibn Ezra says, don't become a monk. This is the exact same thing. Don't become a monk. Your life is not about monkish pursuits. Says Ibn Ezra exactly this. Edom has the monks. Edom has the monks. But us, we don't have that idea. The monks are not for us.
I'm sorry?
There were people that lived at Dunis. Is that what they were called? Samachom Abezim Baba Basra mentions a bunch of Jews after the Korban Bias that would not eat meat, they wouldn't drink wine. Yes. They wouldn't eat meat, they wouldn't drink wine. And Rabbi Yochum Azakah said, stop it. This is not the norm. And they say, it was so weird. It was an unbelievable time. And Rabbi Yochum Azakah said to them, why won't you eat meat? He said, because of the Korbanos. Why won't you drink wine? Because of the libations. Then don't eat bread. Can't eat bread because of the lachmetoda. Don't drink water. Because you're going to have a problem with water because it was nisach hamayim. You can't do anything. He said, you can only do what Chazal told us to do. And that is putting the ashes on your forehead by a chasen at his wedding. You can have the amma by amma, the little amma by amma that you have by your house to remind yourself of the korban bayis rishon, korban bayis, I should say, all together. Not drinking, not having music playing while you're together, while you're eating something that's mentioned by Chazal. You only have those things that are mentioned. Don't go any further than what Chazal mentioned. That's al tiyit tzadik harbi. Don't go beyond the norm. Here's Esav. Esav married Machlas. Esav had simcha in the wrong way. You know why he had simcha in the wrong way? He threw himself into his learning. But he went too far. And he assered upon himself certain things that should be mutter. He was an extremist, Esav. We can understand that. He was an extremist. But he didn't allow himself to stop somewhere. He went too far. This might be a little bit different from what we were saying before, but it's the same idea. He went too far. He wanted to take Meiser off of Melech and Tevin. He wanted to take Meiser off everything. Let me take Meiser off of salt. Even off salt I'm willing to take Meiser off of. What does that do to a person? Makes you so happy, but you're happy for the wrong reasons. You want yourself to be a big tzaddik. You want people to look at you and say, look at what a tzaddik that guy is. Wow, that guy looks like such a big Talmud Chacham. I wish I could be like that guy. But he's doing it for the wrong reasons. That's machlas. That's what you're bringing upon yourself. His question, when he asked, should I take Meiser off Melech and Tevin, was to bring about the spirit of machlas within Yaakov, within Yitzchak Avinu. To make Yitzchak Avinu think, I should also be taking that off. To start assering upon himself things that were mutter. To start doing crazy things that are not mentioned in Judaism. I should also start doing it to bring the creep of Machlas into Yitzchak Avinu. To bring this idea of being just crazy. Just do crazy things. Do everything for God. Be so happy for the wrong reasons. Do that. Bring that creep of Machlas into Klal Yisrael. Have him be overwhelmed and eventually forget about everything. Here's the crazy part. And this is Nitzut Shemshin's point. You take Meiser off Melech and Tevin. Listen to this. Take Meiser off Melech. Mem is 40. So you take Meiser off it. Minus 4 is 36. Lamed is 30. Take Meiser off it. 3. 30 minus 3 is 27. So right now you got 36 plus 27. Ches, can't do anything with it. You add on 8. That's 71 altogether. 71. Keep that in your head. That's 71. Tevin. Tuf is 400. Subtract 40. You get to 360. Bays 2. You don't do anything with that. 362. Nun, 50 minus 5. So that's 45. So what do we have? We have 362 plus 45. And you want to do the quick math? 478. 407 plus 71, 478. 407 plus 71, 478. If you take the Meiser off Melech and Tevin, you come out to Machlas. That's what you bring out, says the Nitzut Shemshin. But the shot behind it is what you're trying to do by doing crazy things. By saying to yourself, I'm going to do even more than that. I'm not just going to bench on food. I'm going to read the entire parsha on top of food. I'm going to do all the parsha. You go crazy. You'll go crazy. Sure, at first you're going to have this crazy simcha. Look at me. I'm doing everything. I'm able to do everything in the world. But you'll wear yourself out. You're going to go crazy. You're going to go too nuts. But that's what Esav wanted. And Esav did wear himself out. He wore himself out. He became way off. And perhaps that connects back to the Adoshim. Now we're going to have a little crazy board. I had this epiphany this week, and I'm like, there has to be something here. Adoshim is too close to the name Esav to be off. Too close. Adosh and Esav being too off. There's something wrong with it. There's something there. There's something going on here. So I looked it up. I decided, you know what? I'm going to look up. Where does Adoshim appear in the Torah? Where does Adoshim appear in the Torah? The word Adoshim. As in lentils. Where does it appear in the Torah? I wanted to figure out what's shot behind a lentil bean. I'm sorry? Only four times. Four times. One is here.
Two of them are in Shmuel Beis. One is in Yud Zayin Chav Ches and Chav Gimel Yud Ches. The other one's in Yechezkel Dalet Tes. In Yechezkel Dalet Tes and Shmuel Beis Yud Zayin Chav Ches, in both those places, it mentions within the pasuk where it says Adashim, it says Seor, barley. In the other place, Chav Gimel Yud Ches, it mentions the word that there were stacks of Adashim. And in Divrei Yamin, the exact pasuk, it says instead of the word Adashim, it says Seorin. There's some connection here between Adashim and Seorin. Seor is like Seir, as in Esav. There's something there. So what's the connection between Adashim, lentil beans, these lentils, and Esav? Some connection to Esav. What did he have? What are Adashim ever mentioned for anywhere else in the Torah? Nothing. It's not mentioned anywhere else. So what's the idea behind it? So here's my idea. Avelus. That's why you made the lentils, right? Rashi says because lentils are round, and Avram Avinu had died on that day, and you make them for Avelus. Who in the world makes lentils for Avelus? Who does that? What do you do for Avelus nowadays? Eggs.
Started.
That's what you do. Lentils?
I don't know.
No, sorry. But you make eggs. That's what everybody does. Everybody makes eggs because they're round. So why wasn't he making eggs? That's what we do on Pesach. We have the egg is the Zecher L'Korban, the Zecher L'Chagiga. That's what we do for the egg. I mean, that makes sense. So why is he making lentils? What's the point behind the lentils? I have an idea. I'm not positive this is correct. I couldn't find a raya for it, but I looked up and I had. You have to go on one of these computer things and just scan it through. I have a feeling that Adashim was not human consumption. That the lentil beans that he was making was not for the people. It was for the animals. Seorin, barley, is animal food, while wheat is human food. Adashim may be the animal form of Avelus. Then instead of eating something different, they eat Adashim. And the human food is eggs. Yaakovino wasn't making food for people. He's making food for animals. He's making the food for the animals to be able to feed the animals on the day of Avelus where they were feeding for the idea of Avelus when Avram Avinu had passed away. That means it represents Gashmis. It represents Behemoth. Now it makes sense. Oh, the Esav coming in, Halitainina, let me swallow up. Treat me like an animal. Just pour it into me. Pour it in like a trough. Just make me like an animal. I just want to eat it. I just want to grab it. That was perfect for Esav. He was all into Gashmis. If he adds on the Koch of Gashmis, and he goes with Esav and Yishmol, and they get together, Yishmol, by the way, is the Gematria, Unizid Adoshim, Unizid Adoshim is the Gematria of Yishmol and the Nun Kochos Atumah, the 50 Kochos Atumah that are out there. It's Yishmol and the 50 Kochos Atumah. I looked it up. I said in the beginning, I said, I want to see if Nizid Adoshim is Yishmol. It was off by a Nun, Unizid Adoshim. And it has to be the 50 Kochos Atumah. It's 451, 501 altogether. Thus, by connecting with the Nizid Adoshim and realizing that he has to bring himself back to Yishmol, he made a double Golos. The Golos of Edom, which becomes the Golos of Yishmol, which at the end of days is supposed to be the Golos of Yishmol. He created a Golos at the end of the Parsha, all from the idea of this Nizid Adashim that he took in the beginning, but all from the idea of him taking the Melech and the Tevin and taking it off at Meister and going in and doing his whole idea of the Shiloh of doing these crazy things in Klal Yisrael. And he made an unbelievable Golos for it that has lasted for 2,000 years, and hopefully it'll end tomorrow. But it hasn't ended yet. An unbelievable 2,000-year Golos, a double Golos, with Esav and Yishmol coming up against us, with Esav trying to kill us, and even when Esav's not trying to kill us, it's Yishmol trying to kill us. An unbelievable Golos. That was the power of Esav in this week's Parsha, of what he was able to do. I said at the end of the day, and I said this last year, who says Rivka was right? I said, because Rivka Paskind. You got to say, at the end of the day, Rivka Paskind, we go with the Halacha. Rivka Paskind. The way Rivka's plan has worked out, we've lost a Mishkan, two Bate Mikdashos, we've had 2,000 years of Golas, five Golias, by the way. We've been in Golas in Mitzrayim, in Bavel, Yavon, Paras and Maldai, and, not necessarily in that order, in Edom, with Yishmol at the very end. This is our plan, and it's been almost a year, 6,000, in Rivka's plan. What would have happened if Yitzchak would have given the brachos to Esav? Could it be worse?
That comes back from the first day on the farm. That was all.
Could it have been worse if Esav would have given, if Esav would have gotten the brachos? What would have happened? How could it be worse? 10 Golias? Is that would have happened? I mean, how could it be worse? Just think about it this way. If Yitzchak would have gone through with the plan, what would have happened? Maybe Mashiach would have come earlier. Then you have a whole plan. Then you have a whole idea. Okay, so now you have to wonder. So, yes, Rivka Paskind, and is the Halakha L'maisa that Esav is not involved. Esav cannot be involved. And L'maisa, we have to take on the tzaros of all Golas, all exiles from then on. L'maisa, just think about it. What would have been? You can't say that Yitzchok was wrong. It's Eilu Eilu Dibre Elokim Chaim. Yitzchok Avinu had a shot here. He had an idea, and he had Ruach HaKodesh. He had an unbelievable amount of Ruach HaKodesh. So what was his idea? What was his plan? What would have happened? But Rivka said, Alayka Loschovini. The curse is going to be on me. It's on me, said Rivka. I know it's going to be bad, and you're going to be cursed, and there's going to be horrible things that happen to you. Alayka Loschovini. I'll take it. 2,000 years ago, you can't say he wasn't. He wasn't cursed by Yitzchok. He was given the bracha by Yitzchok. He kept the bracha by Yitzchok because Yitzchok couldn't do anything about it. But he was cursed in a way that we have goals. We have the five goals because of it. Yes, Avraham Avinu was promised that there was going to be goals. But when I say it got pushed off, right? Because everything laid it on and we only had 86 years of goals in the end of Avoda and everything. Rivka Ruach HaKodesh.
No, but how did she take on the
She had that nevuah.
No, you're saying how she knew. I'm saying, how
was
she the one carrying it?
We don't understand these things. Beyond this world. No, it's beyond these worlds. It's Rivka who took on herself. It's Rivka who took on herself, the tzaras of our goals. We don't know what that means. The same way the Rachel Mevaka al Baneha. The same way the Yitzchak Vinu saved us from all this. That's the idea behind it. But that's how we'll stop. We'll stop with that. Have a good shot, everyone.